For a second week in a row, I've got my bottle with me. I appreciate Tyler running back there and getting it for me. I realized after a little bit of talking that my voice was still going to be a little scratchy. And so to be sure that I'm able to preach the 45 minutes that I have planned, I needed to make sure I had something here. Today is the fifth and final sermon in the series that I've been preaching on recognizing God. Just to review, just quickly, we've talked about in 4 weeks, or I've talked about with you in 4 weeks, the how God is able to be recognized in nature, how He's recognized in the law, the Torah, God's Word that we have, how He is recognizable then in Jesus, first of all, as the promised one. And second, last week what we talked about was how Jesus is recognized, how God is recognizable through Jesus as our Redeemer. Now, I will just have to say that I preached those 4 sermons so that I could preach this sermon today. Because we are able to recognize God in Jesus Christ because He is our King.
Amen.
And now that's the only thing, that's why I preached all of these sermons. So that I could say that. Now, I guess you say, well, since you said it, go ahead and go home. Well, I am going to elaborate just a little bit. My voice feels better, and so if this was last week, I might be able to just quit right there and go on home. But first of all, what is a king? What is a king? Now, when we think about a king, when I think about king, and the first thing that came to my mind was like the English monarchy. And, well, today, when we think about a monarchy, a king, England has a queen now, but still it's a sole ruler, a single solitary ruler. It has absolute authority. Well, we know that the kingdom, the English king, the English throne is not that way today. It's just a superficial title now. It's honorary, so to speak. They actually carry very little authority. But a true king, in the sense of when we're talking about Jesus is our king, is that a king, in the truest sense of the word, has absolute authority. He is the sole ruler. He is sovereign. In other words, he has the power of life and death over his subjects. He has the power to grant good deeds and favors and blessings to his subjects. So when we talk about Jesus, we are talking about Him. When I say He is the King, He is our King, that we are solely in His hands, that life, death, blessings, good things, bad things, He is in control of it all. And that's what a king was in the earliest days. He held everything in His hand in regard to His subjects. Now, as Americans, we have a little problem with kings. See, a couple hundred years ago, we kicked out that kind of thinking, where we would not bow down to a king, where we did not pay homage to a king. And you know, unfortunately, as great as our democracy is, and as great as our way of life is, we have developed this attitude as Americans, free, loving, pull yourself up by your bootstrap Americans. We have rejected that idea in the authority of a king. And it goes all the way to the authority that Christ contains as king. We need to recognize the fact that God is our king, that Jesus Christ is king. And we need to understand something else about this king, is that He will return. Now, Advent. Advent's the time of year we've celebrated 2 Sundays in Advent already. And we're focused in Advent upon the preparations necessary for the arrival of the Messiah, our King, let's say. We're focused upon preparing for that. Well, folks, I got news for you today that Advent is not just a season in which we are to prepare for the baby Jesus coming, for the coming of Christ as a remembrance that Jesus was born in a manger 2,000 years ago and grew up to be the Savior. But Advent is also a time that points to the future coming of the King. Amen. And this is what I'm going to really focus on today. We talk about entirely too much and don't give enough focus upon the return of Jesus Christ at this time of year. Because Advent, while it points to and indicates to us to remember that Jesus did come in a manger, that He is going to return, and we need to remember that. Now, I want to read to you a couple passages of Scripture. First of all, from Revelations 19, 11 through 16, and then I'm going to jump right over to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. If you have your Bibles, feel free to read along with me or read along as we have it on the screen here. Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 11 through verse 16. Now, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And He who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except Himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations, and He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He has on His robe and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When this King comes, there's not going to be any doubt about it. He's not going to come meek and mild in a manger and come with just the words of peace and love and good nature to everybody. He's come for that purpose, and He's fulfilled that. We have a King that is going to return, folks, and we need to understand it. It's imperative that we understand that. That Jesus is coming back and He's going to reign as King, and there's going to be no doubt about it. The world's going to see it. We need to know that. And we need not to forget it at this time of year. Because Advent is a pointer to this return. Now, there are things about this return that we must understand. First of all, just who is this King that's going to return? I've touched on that already. Who is this King that's going to return? Some of you have seen the movie Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. It's a pretty goofy movie. And in it, there's one passage, and I thought about showing this part, but it's just almost sacrilegious, if not totally sacrilegious, where Ricky Bobby and his wife and children are sitting down at the dinner table, and Ricky Bobby offers this prayer. And he says in his prayer in it for grace, is he's praying to the baby Jesus. Dear baby Jesus, if any of you have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. He's talking about, dear baby Jesus, thank you baby Jesus, baby Jesus, baby Jesus. Going on. And his wife says, why do you pray like that? He did grow up. He wasn't always a baby. Well, Ricky Bobby says, it's my prayer. I'll pray to Him like I want to. I like the little baby Jesus. Well, folks, we are a whole lot like Ricky Bobby in that respect. We like to deal with the little baby Jesus. Because we can take the little baby Jesus and we can wrap Him up all cuddly and warm. And we can put Him in whatever place we want Him to, because He'd be dependent on us then. But folks, I'm going to tell you, the baby Jesus did grow up to be a man. And when He comes back, He's going to be King. He's not going to be the infant that we cuddle and coddle. But He's coming back. Did you read what Revelation said? Did you read what Philippians said? That He's going to come back and that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That He's going to come with a sword and He's going to be wielding it and He's going to be bringing judgment. This is the King that's going to be returning, folks. Now, I'm not saying this preaching hellfire and damnation today. I'm just preaching to you the truth. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Scripture's saying, that we need to understand that Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back, and He's going to be demanding accountability from each of us. Each of us. Now, we can't stand worthy on any grounds other than the fact that we have asked Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives and that He has died for us. So don't get me wrong and don't think that I'm preaching that you can earn your way to heaven. It's all because of what Jesus has done. But folks, we need to understand that this is not no infant, no meek, mild King that we're talking about. We're talking about the King of the world, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who's coming back. The second thing we need to understand is that when Jesus returns, there won't be a doubt. I've already said that. It's part of what I've already said. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Those on the earth, those under the earth, those in the heavens. Folks, I don't know what you've done. Now, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Nobody has to answer, but just you think about it. Have you bowed down before the Lord Jesus Christ? In your heart and in your life, have you bowed before Him and said, "Be Lord of my life. I put myself in as your subject. You are my King. You are my Lord." Have you done that? Have you done that? Well, folks, if you haven't, you will one day. Folks, today is the day to put the knee before the Lord and bow before Him as King. Today is the day because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. Shootings in malls. How many of us will be shopping somewhere this next week in a crowd of people out on the highway in traffic? Well, none of us know. We need to put the knee before the Lord while there's time, while He's calling us, and confess Him as Lord and Savior. Because, folks, every human being that lives today and has lived in the past and will live is at one time, at some point in time, going to bow before Him. They're going to bow and recognize Jesus as that King of kings. When Jesus returns, folks, there won't be any doubt. Everyone will bow. The third thing that we need to recognize is the situation of Christ's return. Alright, I want to read something else to you here, and John don't have this, so you'll have to turn with me if you want to read along. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 36, and I'm going to paraphrase just the first few verses, and then I'm going to read. It's a little longer than what I normally read, but it's important here. And what I'm talking about now is the situation of Christ's return. What do we normally think about the situation of Christ's return? Just kind of keep that in your mind. Okay, in this passage from Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking, first of all, to the Pharisees, answering them about the coming kingdom. And then He goes into a discourse to His disciples about what the coming kingdom will be. He tells the Pharisees, He answers them and says, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Then He said to His disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here, look there.' Do not go after them or follow them, for as the lightning flashes out of one part under heaven and shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in His day. But first He must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah," this is what I want you to really hear, "as it was in the days of Noah, when God brought judgment upon the land in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man." This is how it's going to be when Jesus returns. "They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on that day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed, and one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together, and one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Folks, I know that when the flood came, the Old Testament tells us that in that day when God decided to judge humanity, that there was great evil. You know, and we think about it and we say, you know, God's got to return, because just look at the situation of the world today, how mean people are, how evil it is. Well, folks, the truth is, I don't know how it could get much more evil than it has been in the past. And we're living in some evil times, there's no doubt. But you think about 60-some years ago, we just had December 7th, the beginning of America's involvement, the anniversary of America's involvement in World War II. And look at the evil that was present on such a mass scale there. Extermination, or the attempt to exterminate whole races of people. War all around the globe. Millions of people being killed by warfare. Look in the days of Jesus at the oppression, the poverty, and the killing that went on just to keep the Roman people, the Roman rule, to stay in authority. Folks, evil has been present from beginning of time, and it'll be present until Christ returns. But what's different, what's unique about this day, and I believe that the coming of Christ is soon. I believe that we are in the last days, folks. You don't hear me talk about this a whole lot. But I believe it is, because when I read this, I saw something different that I had never seen before. Because in the days of Noah, when God passed judgment upon the human race and was sorry that He had done it, it wasn't, I don't think, the evil that was so unique to the situation that caused His judgment. But what it was, you see in verse 27, it says, "And they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark." Same thing for Lot. What was happening was, folks, is that people were just living life. People were living life. They were going about just the daily affairs. They were doing the things they needed to do. They were putting money into their 401ks. They were raising families, and they were working jobs. They were planting crops. Folks, they were living life, but what had happened? They had forgot about the King. They had forgot about the Lord. They had just gone about and decided that they were going to put all their trust in themselves, and that they would be able to save themselves, that they would be able to do what was necessary to earn their way. They thought Noah was an idiot, building this boat out here in the middle of nowhere where there was even any water, and nobody had ever even seen a boat or heard of rain at that point. But yet, they went about living their lives daily. Folks, we have to stop just going through the motions and just living life. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you what. You know, we can, in the church, we can be concerned with building a new building. We can be concerned with meeting the budget this year. And I'm just tell you the truth. I'm just about tired of that stuff. I think what we need to be worried about and concerned about is living for Jesus as our King. Have you knelt down and called Jesus King? There's never a more important question, never more a crucial decision that you will ever make. The people in Noah's day, the people today, it's not the great evil that's bringing about the impending return of Christ. But it's just the fact that society and the church and Christian people have just forgot that Jesus is King. We become self-centered, self-consumed, self-oriented, and all we think about is me and I. The best preparation this Advent season that you can ever make is to make Jesus King of your life. Now today, I issue that invitation to each and every one of you. If you have not made Jesus Lord and King of your life, if you have not committed all of your life to Him, today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ did come exactly for you and for me. He didn't come for me next week. He didn't come for you next month. But He came for you today. As we sing our closing hymn this morning, I invite you, if you've not made that decision, if you've not made that choice, if you've not bowed before the King of Kings, do so today. Let's pray before we sing. Father, I thank You that we could recognize who You are through Your Son Jesus. And Lord, may You speak to our hearts today, and as we go through this Advent season, may we not forget that we serve the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. May we place ourselves as Your subjects, humbly before You. Amen. Randy, would you announce the song, and let's stand.
Hymn number 2.